Merry Christmas! A couple of weeks ago, we ended our series in the Gospel of Mark so we could think about the Christmas season. At that time, we saw three women who were with Jesus during his ministry, his passion, and his resurrection. Their names were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Today we begin our thoughts with the women who surrounded the birth of Jesus. It's interesting that women were the ones who bookended the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the beginning and at the end, they were there. The Gospel of Matthew gives us the two genealogies of Jesus. Embedded in that genealogy were four women. Remember, this was back in the day when the culture looked down on women and would not naturally place them in a genealogy. But God did. Matthew chapter 1, verse 3, mentions Tamar. You remember? The father of Tamar's child reneged on his promises and had to be tricked into fathering this child. By the way, he was one of the fathers of the original tribes of Israel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 mentions Rahab. She was one of the heroes in the conquering of Jericho. As a resident, she was marked for death, but she aided the spies who came to the city. She and her whole family were spared. In the same verse in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 5, we read about Ruth. She was from Moab, who were the enemies of Israel. She married into a family who immigrated out of Israel during a famine. Her first husband died. Her second husband was an honorable man who cared for her deeply. And the last woman who is mentioned is found in verse 6. She was Bathsheba. She was the woman King David lusted after. He got her pregnant, had her husband killed, and married her. Each one of these women had problems in their families. Yet God honored each of them by naming them in the official genealogy of Jesus. For those of you who have done work on your genealogies, you know how painstaking that work can be. Genealogies are usually only important to the people who put them together. I have genealogies from one of my mother's cousins about all of their family. And I suppose the only interesting part for me was seeing where my name fell in the genealogy. I have no idea about all of these other names and all of these other places where the people came from. But God thought these people were so important that he put them in the two genealogies of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. So important to God. So I'm going to read for you now from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And the topic this morning is going to be, Have a Merry Christmas. And we're going to spell it M-A-R-Y. Have a Merry Christmas. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called infertile is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." Amen. Mary said, "Behold the Lord's bondservant. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So have a Merry Christmas this year. You could say, "Well, Pastor, what other kind of a Christmas could we possibly have other than a Merry Christmas?" Well, it is possible that you could have a Martha Christmas. And don't we many times have Martha Christmases? There's another story in the Bible about a Mary who worshipped at the feet of the Lord. She dwelt on his every word. She loved to hear the stories of healings, and even more than the stories of healings, the stories of forgiveness and the grace of God that would come through Jesus Christ. Her sister's name was Martha. Martha was the one you would call on if you wanted a job done. She was always ready to help in any way she possibly could. As Mary sat and listened to Jesus, Martha was busy preparing the evening meal. Irritation built up in her as she occasionally glanced from the kitchen and caught a glimpse of her sister just sitting there. Finally, she could hold her frustration no longer. She walked right up to Jesus and demanded that he hold her sister accountable for her inactivity. Jesus gently told her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Maybe there's something in that name, Mary. Originally, of course, we learn about Mary from Naomi in the Old Testament, Ruth's mother-in-law, who, because she lost her husband and her two sons, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara," which is a form of Mary, which means bitter. But of course, it's come to mean much more than that, especially from the Marys we have in the New Testament. In other verses, we read in verse 29, "But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was." That was after the angel had come in verse 28 and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, to me, it takes a little time to be perplexed. It takes me a little time to ponder. I like to take a little time each day and put the passage, not only what I'm reading in my devotions, but what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday in front of me, and kind of ponder over it. Let it come into my heart and into my life. And then to be a little perplexed about it and ask the questions, well, what does this mean? What is God trying to teach me? And Lord, what do you want me to teach about Mary this week? Well, it takes a little time, doesn't it? And oftentimes we'll read right through this, and the angel greeted her, and then went right on to say, boom, 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 boom. But he gave Mary a little time. A little time to ponder. A little time to be perplexed. And it kind of makes me wonder, how long did he give her to think about what he said? Today we say, well, it takes us time to process what's being said. It takes me a long time. I put something on Facebook this week about the nature of men. And it said something like, women spend more time trying to think of what their husband is thinking about than the time that men actually take to think. Well, a lot of times we're not thinking about too much. I guess it goes both ways as well. But Mary was one, the Bible says she treasured things up in her heart. If she were perplexed, she pondered on them. This seemed like something that was impossible to her. But she pondered it in her heart. Other members of this first family, Joseph, was a man of action. As we read through the Christmas story, he took Mary to Bethlehem. He took Mary to be his wife. Having been warned about Herod in a dream, he took the family to Egypt to escape the evil plans of Herod. When Herod was dead, he brought his family back to Nazareth. There is, of course, a time for action. But we must not let the busyness of the season keep us from quiet reflection on what Christmas is really all about. It's all about Jesus. So have a Merry Christmas. Stop in the midst of all the activities and ponder. Wonder about God becoming a man. Think about the wondrous love of God, that he would send his only begotten Son to be your Savior. Don't get lost in the presence. I know for me, one of the most difficult times in the Christmas season is Christmas present wrapping. I had an extra neighbor in one of our churches. We called her Grandma B, and I would take all of the presents over, and she would wrap them for me. Don't get caught up in all of the food. That's important, isn't it? It's important to me. That Christmas dinner. But don't make it the most important thing in Christmas. Everything needs to be just right. Everything needs to be a little better than last year. I don't know if you've noticed that one house on Route 2 going toward Troy. They just add all kinds of things every year to their display. And I love Christmas lights. I love Christmas displays. But don't make the Christmas displays the most important thing about Christmas. Because it's not about the displays. It's about Jesus. This season, literally, for God's sake, take a breath. You know, that's not just a saying, it's for real. You know. Process what this season really means. Get into it. This is a celebration of life. The life of Jesus, but it's also eternal life. And what do we have to fear? A little note that Axie brought me. Jerry passed away this morning. Where did he pass to? He passed into everlasting life. He passed into the presence of the Savior, the healer. That's the final healing that we experience as Christians. know, we can pray for all of our prayer lists of people who have cancer and MS and all of the other things that we can catch the COVID, everything. But what's most important is that one day we're going to be in Jesus' presence. And that's the important presence, not the things that we open up here. It's being in Jesus' presence. It's about life. Elizabeth was a special encouragement to Mary. She was a relative, fairly close relative of Mary. But she was too old to have a baby. But God gave Elizabeth a miracle baby. Some of us who worked in having your kids last year can, oh yeah, miracle baby, I know who that is. The little boys gave his testimony. He said, I'm a miracle baby. The first way God used John the Baptist was to encourage Mary. Elizabeth was past the years of childbearing, but with God it says nothing is impossible. A woman too old, a woman who had never known a man, were both going to have babies. Miraculous birth. And John told us in his gospel, you must be born again. So this spoke of a miraculous conception and birth. John the Baptist, Jesus, and you and I can have that miraculous birth when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? This was a great birth. For Nicodemus, it would be a spiritual birth, that he would be born again. Mary carried Jesus into this world. We, when born again, we also carry Jesus into this world. Elizabeth said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth gave her blessing to Mary. An unborn or preborn baby glorified God in his mother's womb. In today's world, both of these mothers would have been encouraged to have an abortion. Ponder that for a moment. Elizabeth, you're too old. There are complications with a pregnancy if you're too old. It would be best, the doctors might have told her, if she had lived today, to abort that baby. Mary, you're too young. You're not married. You should think about aborting that baby. A friend of mine recently told me about his experience with abortion. When his daughter got pregnant, he drove her to the clinic for her abortion. While there, the attendant told his daughter that it would be a more difficult abortion because she was so far along. She decided that she didn't want to go through with it. And now has a wonderful teenage daughter. And he has a wonderful teenage granddaughter. Whenever he looks at his granddaughter, he sees the horror of what that abortion could have done. Elizabeth gave a testimony to Mary's faith. Mary was honored, not because of her perfection, but because of her faith. Mary's faith was based on the Word of God. Mary found that carrying Jesus into the world was not easy. She was very young. She faced the criticism and condemnation of those who didn't believe the truth. Later in his life, they would mock Jesus. She was totally dependent of the kindness of others. She stayed, the Bible says, with Elizabeth for 3 months, maybe until John was born. She was depending on Joseph throughout his lifetime. She was dependent on an innkeeper, the kindness of a stranger. She was dependent on the gifts of the wise men, which perhaps supported them for the first years of Jesus' life. Is it really a blessing to have everything you need? Ponder that for a moment. Or as the psalmist would say, Selah. Mary was not self-sufficient. But when you were used as a vessel of God, and we are too, carrying God into this world, God will provide. Hagar was an Old Testament example. When she was cast out from her home with her little child, she cried out to the Lord, and God gave her water for sustenance. Jesus is the living water that God has provided for us. Amen. And Jesus is the bread of life. And he is sufficient. He is our God.